All right. Okay, good. We'll start at the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Amud Bet. So the Mishnah is continuing. Here it does not say it explicitly, but these are Mishnayot that deal with the issues of Tikkun Olam, and we'll see why it's considered Tikkun Olam here, even though it's not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah itself. So the Mishnah begins, Eved Shinishba. So this is an Eved was taken into captivity, Uptau, and then they redeemed such an Eved. Now, the Eved we're talking about here is an Eved Kanani, and it was taken into captivity, and then they redeemed him. Im lishum Eved Ishtabet. If he was redeemed for the purpose of remaining an Eved, then he will remain in servitude. Im lishum ben Chorim. If he was redeemed in order to be a free person, lo Ishtabet, then he will not have to be in servitude. No matter what, either way, he remains in servitude. So Gemara wants to know, but Maya Skina, right? The Mishnah is a little cryptic. So what's going on in this Mishnah? Right? If it's before the first owner gave up ownership rights to this Eved, right? Then Lishum ben Chorim Amaylo Yishtabet. Then why, if someone redeems this Eved for the purpose of freeing him, why should he not go back to his original owner? His original owner never gave up rights to him, so why can't he go back to the original owner? Ella, so what are you going to suggest? La'achar Yeush is after the original owner of this Eved gave up rights to him. L'shum Eved amayish tabed. So when someone else goes and redeems him, why should he go back to his original owner? His original owner has already given up all ownership rights here. So now we have two solutions, one by Abaye and one by Rava. So Amar Abaye, the Olam Lifnei Yeush. Abaye says that the Mishnah is talking about before Yeush. This means that the first owner of this Eved has not given up his ownership rights to the Eved. So now, if someone comes around, this is a third party comes and redeems him, L'shum Eved, Ishtabe the Rabbo Arishon. Then when he redeems him, he goes back to his original owner, because that's who he belongs to. L'shum Ben Chorin, if he's redeemed to be a free man, Lo Ishtabet. Then he will not be, right, in servitude, lo le rabo rishon, not to his first master, below the rabo sheni, and not to this second individual who's now just redeemed him. The rabo sheni lo, right, so the second one makes sense. Why? The halashum ben chorin parke. Right, he redeemed him to be a free man. So what's even there's no question here. The rabo rishon nami lo, dilma mimane velo parke. This is a takonas chachamim, right, that if we say that when a third party comes along and redeems an Eved, right, if we say that he goes back to be in servitude to his original master, people will not redeem the Eved. They're not going to go ahead and do it for the benefit of this other owner. So because of that, we didn't want it to go back to the original owner, and he will remain a free man. So then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes in and disagrees and says, Bein p'kach bein kach hishtabet. Either way, he goes back to his original owner. He goes to the original owner. Why? Kasavar, kishem shem mitzvah liftot b'nei chorin, kach mitzvah liftot et ha'avadim. Right? Because just like there's a mitzvah to redeem Jews, right, regular Jews, there's also a mitzvah to redeem an Eved Kanani. I mean, there's no difference. They are the same. The mitzvah is equivalent between the two. And therefore, we're not afraid of. What were we afraid of? The Chum's takana was that we were afraid of that people will not redeem the Eved. Why won't they redeem the Eved? Because they'll think it'll go back to being Meshubad to the first Adon. But here, if he goes free, then he becomes like a regular Jew. If he becomes like a regular Jew, then they'd be willing to redeem him. Rav Shimon Gamliel says we don't have to worry about that, because since there's an equal mitzvah between redeeming a regular Jew and redeeming an Eved, then people are going to redeem them no matter what happens to him, because there's the same mitzvah. So that's Abaye's position. Abaye's position, again, it's Lifnei Yeush. It's before the original owner gives up. Then if he redeems him for shibud, he goes back to his original owner. If he redeems him to be free, he goes free. According to the Chami, he goes free from the second guy because the third party who came and redeemed him, because it's no reason to make a shibud, he redeemed him to be free. He does not go back to the first guy. That's the takana, right? The tikkun olam, which is that if we do let him go back to the original owner, nobody's going to come and redeem him. There's no incentive to redeem them. Shimon Leo says you don't need an incentive to redeem them, because benkach or benkach, it's the same thing, meaning that it's the equivalent. Yisrael and Eved Kanani are equivalent in the need or the mitzvah to redeem them, and therefore Ben Kach or Ben Kach, he'll go back to the original owner. That's the position of Abaye. Now, Rava has the other position. Rava Amar Le'olam Le'achar Yeush. Our Mishnah is a case of after Yeush. After Yeush means that the first owner has given up all hope of getting back this Eved. So therefore, if he redeems him, l'shum Eved, ishtabe l'rabo hasheni. If he redeems him, the second individual, redeems him in order to be his Eved, then that's exactly what he got. He bought him, now he's his Eved. L'shum ben charim, lo ishtabe l'rabo isham, l'rabo sheni. If he redeems him to be a free man, then he doesn't go to either of them. L'rabo sheni lo, why, l'shum ben charim parke, right? That's pretty straightforward because he redeemed him to be a free man. So, of course, he doesn't go to his rabbi Shani. The rabbi Shani, Namilo, the halacha yeyushava. He doesn't go back to the original owner. Why not? Because the original owner gave up hope. He had yeyush on him. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, according to the rabbi's position, it's acha yeyush. So, what's the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? He says, Ben kach ben kach ishtabed. So, what does it mean, Ben kach ben kach ishtabed? So, over here, Rashi and Tosfos read that Ben kach ben kach ishtabed means go back to the original owner. No matter what, he goes back to the original owner. Kid the Chizkiah, because of Chizkiah. What's Chizkiah's position? Dharma Chizkiah, b'mnei amru ben kach ben kach ishtabed. Why should he go back to his original owner? Hey, kol echad v'echad holich, u'mapil atzmo l'gaisot, u'mafkia atzo miyad rabo. So anytime an Eved decides that he's not so happy with his position, he'll basically go and put himself in a position to be kidnapped or to be taken into captivity. And that's how he'll get out of having to go back to his original owner. So the Takanas Chachamim here is that, according to Chizkiah, that no matter what the redemption is done here, the Eved will always go back to his original owner. So therefore, the Eved will no longer have an incentive, right? He'll no longer have an incentive to go ahead and put himself into captivity, because if he's ever redeemed, guess where he's going? He's going right back to his original owner. So there's no benefit to him being in captivity. The Makshem Shemitzah Lifto the Bnei Chorim Kamitzvah Ludved Havadim. Right, so there we have a question now. A braisa that suggests that what's the position of Rav Gamliel is based on the fact that just like there's a mitzvah to be poda the Bnei Chorim, so too there's a mitzvah to be poda avodim. That sounds like the position of Abaye. So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'Abaye demar lifnei yush. So according to Abaye, it says before yeyush hanu dekamar kashem. That's exactly what this statement's about. Elo the Rav demar yeyach yeyush. According to Rav, it says after yeyush, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position has nothing to do with kashem. Hai kashem is shum. What are you talking about? Hakashem Mishum de Chizkiyahu. The reason Rabbi Shimon's position comes up because of Chizkiyah, that we don't want this Eved throwing himself into captivity. So Amar Lechorov, Rov will say, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo have a yodo my kamir rabbanon. Shimon Gamliel didn't know what the rabbanon were saying. V'hachi ka'amar luhu. And this is what he said to them. Ilifnei Yeyush ka'amar yitu. If your position is before Yeyush, I say go back to the original owner. Why? Hainu kashem, because of the position of Abai. If it's after years, I say go back to the original owner. Kamri took it to Chizkiah because of like Chizkiah. Despite that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's statement based on this brisa is he's unsure about what the Chachamim say. Rava is certain that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position is only true la'achayeish, and that's what Tosfos points out. That it was more mistaber to Rava that his position was only right after Yeish and not before Yeish, despite the fact that it seems from this Braisa that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had uncertainty as to the position of the Chachamim. Now the Gemara asks a question on this position of Rava. Rava made a statement, according to the Chachamim, that when this third party comes along and redeems the Eved, the Shem Shibud, that he goes to the ownership of the second guy. The question is, where did he get that ownership from? Who is he buying ownership from? That's what the Gemara wants to know. According to Rava, who says that our mission is talking about after Yeush, and then when he redeems him, this third party comes and redeems him, and he goes into Shibud, that goes to the new owner. Rabu Shenu Iman Konile. Who is he buying that from? Who is he buying this ownership from? So Gemara says, Mishavai. He's buying it from the kidnappers or the capturers of the Eved. He's buying it from them. So Gemara says, Shavai Kufei Mikonile. How did these capturers or kidnappers, how did they get possession of this Eved? So where it says, in Konile the Maase Yodov, that they did take possession of him for his Maase Yadayim. The Omer Reish Lakish, so this is, Reish Lakish says, Minayin Ovi Kachavim Shekona to Ovi Kachavim the Maase Yodov, that is, one Nochri is allowed to be by another Nochri for his output, for his Maase Yadayim. So just quickly, understand, right, in general, when it comes to, say, for instance, a Jew who wants to have ownership over an Eved Kenani, when a Jew buys an Eved Kenani, right, generally it's assumed to be that he has a Shibud Aguf. He actually not only buys his output, right, but he also buys a Kenyan. He has a full Kenyan in this Eved. And this Eved is now, he has a Kenyan, a Guf in this Eved, and he owns this Eved. He can pass them along like property. As opposed to this, if a Jew buys an Eved Ivri, Right? For that Eved Ivri, he does not own the Eved Ivri. He's not a Kinyan, a goof on the Eved Ivri. All he has rights to are the output of the Eved Ivri. So now, the Gemara wants to know, when it comes to Nachri, two of the Kochavim, what's their ability to transact with each other? Can they purchase another Ovi Kochavim Lekinyan Aguf, or can they purchase it only from Maisa Yodov? So Gemara's assumption here is what? Like Reish Lakish, that an Ovi Kochavim can buy another Ovi Kochavim for his output, for his Kinyan, for his Maisa Yodayim. So basically, how do we know this? Because it says, V'nayad Ovi Kochavim Shkonet Ovi Kochavim Maisa Yodov Shnemer. V'gam b'mnei ha-toshavim ha-garim ha-chem mehem tiknu. Right, it says, from the B'nai HaToshavim, HaGarim HaChem Mehem Tiknu. Mehem Tiknu is extra in the Pasuk, that you can buy from them. Atem Konim Mehem, Velohem Konim Mekem. You can buy them, meaning that a Jew can take a Shibara Guf in a Nochri, in an Eved Kanani, but Velohem Konim Mekem. But they cannot take a Kinyan Aguf in a Jew. And that means that a non-Jew can never have a Kinyan Aguf in a Jew. He can only have, possibly, we'll see in a second, possibly have a Kinyan Yet, which is Kanya Masa Yodov. V'lo keim konim ze mizeh. And they cannot purchase each other. Non-Jews, right? Ovi kacham cannot purchase each other. Locha lo yiknu et ze et ze. You would think that they can't purchase each other, so then the Gemara interjects. Yoch lo yiknu ze et ze. What do you mean? Maybe they can't, you know, purchase each other. Ha-mart. You just said. Lo haim konim ze mizeh. You just said they can't buy each other. So Gemara says, hachi kamar. V'lo haim konim ze mizeh l'gufo. They're not allowed to buy each other to have a Kinyan Haguf. You would think that's also true, that they're unable to buy each other for their output. Amart Kal V'chomer. It's a Kal V'chomer. What's that Kal V'chomer? Oved Kochavim Yisrael Koneh. Right? So a non-Jew is able to be Koneh a Jew. And that's from the Pasuk, actually. They're in the same parsha in Vayikra, right? The pasuk says that chitasig yad ger ol eker mishpachat ger. There, where a Jew falls on hard times and then sells himself out to a non-Jew. So, well, how does he sell himself out to a non-Jew? He's able to sell his output to the non-Jew. So that's, he sold himself to Maisa Yadayim. So the Gemara says, if a Jew can sell himself to a non-Jew for Maisa Yadayim, ovi kachavim, right? Ovi kachavim lo koshekein, a non-Jew to a non-Jew. Certainly, right, that they can't. Right, I mean, certainly, I'm sorry. Certainly that they can, that they have the ability to be kone within themselves. So now, based on this, what do we comes out? It comes out that there are, in terms of transactions or the ability to own people, let's call it owning people, the only person can have a kinyan aguf is that a Jew can have a kinyan aguf in a, right, Eved Kanani, right, in a non-Jew. That's the only way you can have a Kinyan Aguf. When it comes to Maisa Yadayim output, that ownership can be done Jew to Jew, right? Ovid Kochavim to Ovid Kochavim can have a Kinyan for output, and a Goy can own Maisa Yadayim of a Jew, meaning that he can own the Maisa Yadayim of a Jew. So every other transaction between people is all for Maisa Yadayim, except for, right, a Jew buying an Eved Kanani or buying a Kanani, where he can have it Le Shibara Guf, which is now, in this instance, what happened? The Eved belonged to the original owner, right? Then he was taken into captivity. The original owner has Yeush on him. He gives up rights to him. These people that captured him, right? What do they have on him? They have, what Kinyan do they have on them? They only have a Kinyan to the Maisa Yadayim on him. So what can they sell? When they sell it to the next Jew, right? When this new Jew comes and buys this Eved, what can they sell him for? They can only sell what they own. What do they own? They only own Maisa Yadayim. So this new Jew can go ahead and buy, right? Only can buy the Maisa Yadayim of this Eved. Right? So that's all they can buy. This Jew can buy the Maisa Yadayim from this Eved from the non-Jews. Now Rashi, I'll point this out to show for your point. Rashi on the previous Amud on Lama Diamond Bet says that when the Yisrael comes and buys him currently miyado the Maisa Yadav b'kaspo. When he pays the money, you buy him for Maisa Yadayim. After this, Ulugufe betvila l'shem avdus. And then, how does he get a kinyan aguf in him? He gives him a tvila l'shem avdus. That you can create that kind of. Oh, so very good. So that's the Gemara. Rashi asked that question. Very good. So now the Rashi says, v'afilu mal v'tavo l'gabe rabo rishon. Right? Even if he had a tvila and a mila by his first master, Jewish master, right? Kanya shavai be'yeush l'masi adav. Right, then they still get it. So that remains. So that's a question. The question then, what happens to the Shibud Aguf here, is a very good question. I will deal with it in a second, Tzvi, just to deal with what happens to the Shibud Aguf. What happens if he's already stuck with his original owner? If he's stuck with his original owner for the Shibud Aguf, how do we get rid of that, or does that disappear or not disappear? I'll deal with that in a couple of minutes, okay? But for right now, our assumption is that when this Jew comes along and buys this Eved Kanani from the capturers or the kidnappers, he gets a Kinyan and Maisa Yadov, and if he's able to, he can then, according to Rashi, put him in Tvila the Shame Avdus. Right? I will deal with the fact, right? So you asked the question about wasn't he ever already Tvila, or doesn't he already have a Shibud Aguf from the original owner? What happened to that? We'll have to deal with that in a minute. Okay? We just want to get through some of the Gemara, and then I'll come back to discussing exactly that question. So Gemara says, Ve'ima hani mili bekaspo. Let us say that the ability of non-Jews to own each other, own output from each other, that's only true in monetary transactions, meaning when there's money exchanging hands. Aval b'chazaka lo. By b'chazaka, that is not the case. What does this word chazaka mean here? So this has to be subject to a machlokes harishonim. Rashi says chazaka over here is the chazaka that an eved kanani niknebo, and what is that? How do you make a kinyan on an Eved Kanani? So you can buy him, right, with kesef or star. And there is also chazaka. But chazaka is not like chazaka of karka, right, that we talk about. But this chazaka is called chazaka she Eved Kanani niknebo, hainu chazaka shel abdus. That you treat him like an Eved. He'll bisho, he'n ilo, hirchitzo, he dresses you, he puts your shoes on, he takes you to the bath, the rabo. So that's the type of chazakah. So that's what Rashi says here. The question is, maybe, that's the Gemara's have a meaning here, maybe it's only true by money that you can acquire him, but maybe the chazakah that another non-Jew cannot acquire an additional non-Jew through chazakah, through treating him like an Eved. Maybe that would not work. All right, I'm going to go with Rashi's pshat. I'll come back and explain to you how the other Rishonim learn it. All right, so now based on this, Amar Rav Papa, Abba Chazakah, Rabbi Paz says, that's not true. Aman Omov, Taru B'sichon. Right? Aman Omov, we just had this at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, right? That when Bnei Yisrael went to conquer the property of Sichon, over there it says that Sichon actually took a large part of his property, Nachal Arnon, in those areas, from Ammon and Moab previously. And we know that there's a restriction against Bnei Yisrael attacking. You can't attack Moab, they can't attack Ammon, and they're not allowed to take any of their property. So how is it that they were able to go and conquer Sichon, which previously he had properties that previously belonged to these other nations? So where it says, must be, what do you see from that? You see that a non-Jew can come along and through Chazakah, right, take possession of another non-Jew's property. And just like he can take chazakah of another Jew, non-Jew's property, this is the way Rashi is learning, karka, so too, because an Eved Kanani has the same status as karka, so too he can exert a chazakah over an Eved Kanani, and they can have a kinyan in that manner, in that fashion. So that's the proof of the Gemara according to Rashi. So Gemara says, Ashkechon Oved Kochavim, right, that works for an Oved Kochavim, non-Jew to non-Jew transaction, that they can do it through a chazakah. Oved Kochavim Yisrael Minayin, how do you know that a non-Jew can own a Yisrael through a chazakah? How do you know that? Because it says also, at the end of Bamidbar, it says, Vayish Bimenu Shevi. Right, when they came and attacked Bnei Yisrael, it says they took a captive from Bnei Yisrael. So you see what? That they're able to, it doesn't say that, it says that they were a captive. They were captive of these nations. And if they are captives of this nation, you see that they made some sort of acquisition that they were able to take possession of a Jew. So based on this, if you call him a captive, a Shevi, right, that means that he has a Kinyan and a Kinyan through Chazakah. So that's the way Rashi learns it. Rashi learns that Chazakah here, quote-unquote, is similar to Chazakah that we see elsewhere in Shas. And therefore, when we say chazaka for the Eved Kanani, that means that you can acquire him through treating him like an Eved. And what's the proof of the Gemara? What's the proof of the Gemara that we see non-Jews can transact through chazaka? Is one, because we see by karka they have a principle called chazaka. And so too, by a non-Jew owning Yisrael, they have a principle through chazaka. Tosfos rejects Rashi's pshat. And he says, wait a minute, that what we're talking about here, chazaka, is not regular chazaka. We're talking about chazaka through war. through kibush milchama. That's what we're talking about. How do we know that a non-Jew, he can't transact with the regular chazaka, but what he can transact through, and actually there's a girsa in the Ran, just to point it out here, the Ran has seems to be quoting Rashi or something similar to Rashi, and he says that you can't get that a guy can't get it low kesef and not through chazaka. It sounds like that Rashi believed also over here. Then you'll see it in the Aleph in the Gosa Bach. He says he thinks that's what the real Grierson Rashi is, that you can't make a chazaka on it, and that you'd have to learn something like Tosfos. But anyway, Tosfos points out what the chazaka here is, kibush milchoma. How do we know that a non-Jew can take possession of another Jew's property through war? If there's a battle, if there's a war, can they come along and take possession of their property? So the number one answer is yes, because we see that from Sichon, that took possession of Ammon and Moab. And when he took possession of it, that was Metaret for Yisrael, and then Yisrael could go conquer that land and not be in violation of taking property from Ammon and Moab. Then we say later on, can Yisrael be subjected to that same principle? Mar says, yes. You see that from Yish B'menu Shevi, that they were able to take a captive, a Jewish captive, and it's called a Shevi. So they were able to take a Jewish captive. That shows you through war, they're able to take acquisition. And that's what Tosa says. Just like, that's what we're saying over here. Just like by Sichon, they can take possession of property. They can also take possession of Eved through war. Right? Now, the Tosfos HaRid has an in-between position, which is kind of like a compromise position. He says, he doesn't say in war, but he says by force. Chazaka doesn't literally mean in battle or in war, but rather it means through koach, through imposing force. Can they do that? If they impose or somehow through strength they're able to take possession, does that work? And that's what he says is happening here. That how do we know that when they use force that it works? So that's the two cases that we brought here to show you that force works, and therefore you can take ownership in that manner. So nafkamina might be between the Tosfos and Tosfos Rid is meaning that when we talk about war, you talk about does it have to be a real nation? Does it have to be a formal government that's going to war, or can it be just marauders that are going around through force that are taking possession of someone? Right? Meaning that is that sufficient to create such a chazaka? All right, now, Tzvi, to answer your question, you had a question above, what happens to the original owner's possession? So if you look in the Tosfos Rid, I want to show you that. He asks your question over here. The Tosfos Rid asks your question. It's down on the left. I don't know what your formatting is in the Tosfos Rid. Do you have it on the left side of the dot there? Yeah, you do? Okay, good. Across from the Tosfos, you say Kol HaMeshachrer. The Tosfos says Kol HaMeshachrer. If you count down two, four lines down in that Tosfos, so Kol HaMeshachrer, and then move to the left, it says Tshuva. Do you see that, the word Tshuva in the Tosfos Rid? It's Tshuva. All right, so this is for your question, Tzvi. What happens here? So let's just review the case here. According to Rava, it's after Yeush. So the first owner is giving up ownership. These marauders, or whoever these people are, came along, took possession of this Eved. So now they can only make a Kinyan of Maisei Yadayim. So they have Kinyan Maisei Yadayim, and then they sell that Kinyan Maisei Yadayim to another Jew. What happens to the Kinyan Aguf that belonged, or the Shibud Aguf that belonged to the original owner? So Tshuva, so listen to this. V'vadai ha-mafkir avdo vo'enu omeid metachat shumadam yatsa l'cheirut. Truthfully, if the original owner had given up ownership of his Eved, meaning that he frees him, then he goes free because there's nobody there. Aval zeh she'omeid b'yad ha-shvai, this in person who's stuck with the capturers or the marauders here, shukan o b'chazaka, they took him by force, k'damran, ain kwach b'yadeinu l'shachvaro. We can't free this Eved. We can't let him go free. Right? Below mi bayi behefker b'chut. Right? Not just with hefker. Laf agav dichtav legita dehit cheruta. Even if he writes him a get cherut, gives him a shtar that says you're totally free now. Eini yocholo tziyom itachar reshuta cherim. He can't remove him from someone else's possession. Unei shehoilu hefkiro v'shichru shim yivrach mi'ad ha-shavai. If he runs away from these new capturers, right, then he would be Shein Rabo Rishon Yechola Hakzikbo. His original owner now can't go back and have any ownership over him. Ela Harei Mushuchrar, he's free. Avali Machro Shavai Yisrael. If these non-Jews or these capturers sell him, these marauders sell him to a Jew, Kano Miara Shavai the Masei Adav. He can buy from them what they own, which is his output. Ve'ein Koach L'Rabo Rishon L'Hapkiyom Mitachat Yado. This first owner cannot remove him, cannot get him back, or not free him. Lo behefker, but lo b'shichrur. Because why? The only time that hefker and shichrur work is when there's no other party that's exerting right ownership here. Problem is here that you have other ownership. V'hu adin. Listen to this. This is what Tosfos Rid says. The imacha Ruvain avdo l'Shimon. Ruvain sells his Eved to Shimon l'ma'aseh yadav. He only sold them for his output, not for shibur aguf. Shelo macharlo el lekinyan nadamim. The kinyan ha'isur shayer latzmo, but he kept the kinyan aguf for himself. He can't go now and free him and say, oh, he's totally free now. That's not his ability. And that's why he has to stay with his second rav, or his second owner. But even though he goes to the second owner, his second owner now can't go and free him and let him go to be with his rav, with a bat Yisrael, ad shechpots rabo arishon. Unless the original owner also agrees to this, Sharia Shavai lo kanu elamase adav, because the marauders or captors only took possession of him for his maase adav shu kinyan damim. Lo kinyan yisur shu kinyan aguf tzarech get nishar itzel rabo rishon. That still belongs to his original rebbe. Maase shel shavai machal Yisrael, and the marauders or captors can only sell to the Jew what they own. Lo yicholim kor lo kima kinyan damim. About kinyan the yisur itzel rabo rishon nishar hilkach. Ein koach the rabo rishon the shachro. So you can't. Each of them needs each other to free this Evet. The first one gives up hope. The first Rav or owner gives up hope or gives Yeush, or is Mafkir him. Then when the second owner frees him, then he will go free and be Mutar Bevat Yisrael. If a person sells his Evet to a non-Jew, the Kinyan Aguf remains with the original Jew because he can't sell that to a non-Jew. Non-Jew is unable to take possession of that. He only takes monetary possession. Right? See, so that hopefully answers your question, which is that this Kinyan Aguf that belongs with Rabbo Rishon remains with his Rabbo Rishon. And according to this, the way the Tosfos Reed is learning, the second Adon can only take possession of the Kinyan Adamim, this is the Maaseh Yadav, and the Kinyan Aguf remains with his Rabbi Rishon. Now, if his Rabbi Rishon relinquishes the Kinyan Aguf, then what Rabbi Rishon owns is the Maaseh Yadav, and what's left is the possibility that the Rabbi Sheni can either free him, and then he will go totally free, or that the Rabbi Sheni can somehow impose on him a Kinyan Aguf. And how does he impose on him a kinyan aguf? That is, as Rashi says, what? The tvila, the shem abdus. If he puts him into tvila, the shem abdus. Now, your question, which is, well, how can he do that? There was already a tvila, the shem abdus, that belonged to the first Adon. But the first Adon freed him. When the first Adon freed him, he relinquished, right, his rights to the tvila. And you're asking to me is that there's, oh, well, he already had a tevilah l'shem to become a Yisrael if he's mishtachrer, right? That may be the possibility. But the truth is that there's another aspect of tevilah, which is tevilah l'shem avdus. So that he could still do. Meaning that he can may possibly reimpose the avdus part of it, even though the gerus part he can't affect. I mean that he can't change that status. All right, so that's, at least Rashi believes that. I'm not sure that all the Rishonim believe that. So it was possible that some other Rishonim believe that he can never return him to a shibur aguf because that original tefillah is done, and like you're suggesting, it's done, and then you can't repeat it. You can't repeat a tefillah. Shame, but Rashi seems to believe that you can have a tefillah l'shem avdus, which is that this repeat of this tefillah l'shem avdus. Okay? All right, so now we're continuing in the Gemara. The Gemara continues with this issue of Rova and Abaye. Eved, Amar Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Eved Shabarach mi Beit Asurim. An Eved that runs away from jail, Yatza Lecherut, he now goes free. V'lo Od, Ela Shekofene Rabo, V'kotu V'lo Get Shechrur. And then we force his master to actually give him a document of freedom. So it's Nan. Right, we have our Mishnah, Rav Shemuel Amar Ben Kach U'Ben Kach Yishtabed. That no matter what, no matter why he's freed, he goes back to his original owner. So this is Rabbi Yochanan again. Whenever Rabbi Shmuel gives an opinion in a Mishnah, halacha kemoto. The halacha is like him. Alright, we won't get into them, but these three exceptional cases, just note, this our case is not one of those exceptional cases. So therefore, now, we have one position where Rabbi Yochanan says, halacha is like Shimon Gamliel, which sounds like anytime you free an Eved, he goes back to his original owner. Then we have a statement here from Shimon Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that an Eved that runs away from jail, We let him go free. We even force his Rav to go free. So now Gemara says, Bish, Lama Abaye Abaye can explain the difference between these two positions. Right? Muki Lahai Lifnei Yeyush. He'll explain our Mishnah as a case of before Yeyush. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he goes back to the original owner. V'hai, and the case over here where we say that he goes, M'beit Asurim Yatza L'Cheirut, is after Yeyush. Since the original owner gave up hope with him, he basically freed him. He freed him, and now he's run away. You know, Gesundheit, let's make sure that he is free for real. Yes, I think that is the case. That is the case, yes. I think you're right, Shaul, that this is a non-Jewish prison. And therefore, when he runs away, that's why the owner had Yeush on him. Similar to this case where he was taken captive before. Okay, now, Elo the Rovo, Damar la'achar Yeush. But Rav already set up our Mishnah as a case of Achar Yeush. How is he going to explain the stira between Rabbi Yochanan over here? So Kasho, the Rabbi Yochanan, it's a problem between the two positions of Rabbi Yochanan. So I'm going to Rav, no. Time am I. What's the reason in our Mishnah that he goes back to his original owner? Mishum to Chizkiah. Right, what is Chizkiah's problem? Chizkiah's problem is, what's this Eved going to do? This Eved is going to run away from his, throw himself to be kidnapped or throw himself to these marauders because he knows by doing that he's going to get out of being under the servitude of his first master. So now his incentive is to do that unless we say, well, no matter how he gets his freedom afterwards, he's going back to his original master. If you say that, it's a disincentive for to do such a thing. Now, what's the problem? Problem is that the problem is in our case, what's going to happen? In our case, he's going to say, Boreach Shiny. Our case is, what's the case? He runs away from prison. What happens when you run away from prison? Right? Hashal katala matzar nafshei. Guess what happens when they find him after he runs away from prison? They're going to kill him. So now what do you think? You think when we bring him back, what do you think his next move is going to be? To throw himself, he's going to run back to his original master? Absolutely not. Apule apel nafshei legaisot. You're worried about him now running back and throwing himself back to being kidnapped? If he gets caught by these guys again, he's dead. So he's not going to do that. That's not a good solution for him anymore. So therefore, that's the difference in the two opinions here. The question is, when he runs away from jail, there's no longer in this issue of him running away from his master because the incentive is he's disincented to do that because if he does it, he's going back, he's going to be killed. But in our case, the other case, the original case is there was no death warrant out of him. He wasn't in jail. So therefore, when he wanted to get away from his original master, what does he do? He runs away and throws himself to be captured. So in that instance, there we say he goes back to Rabbi Arishon. But in our case over here, this case of Reb Shem Ben Arba, we don't send him back to Rabbi Arishon because, again, there's no incentive for him to get himself into jail and then to run away. That's not a good solution for him to getting out of the ownership or the servitude of his original master. Okay, so now we're going to have a couple of cases over here. Amtei de Mar Shmuel, right? So you have the Shifcho of Mar Shmuel, Ishtabai. She was taken into captivity. Pirkua the Shum Amhato. Some others came along and redeemed her for to be a maidservant. Vishadruale. And they sent her back, right, or sent to him, basically that this is yours. Shachule, they said to him, Anan Krab Shimon Gamliel Sfirlan. We hold, right, like Rab Shimon Gamliel. And therefore when we redeemed her, that means she automatically goes back to you. That's what Rab Shimon Gamliel says, right? Rab Shimon Gamliel says this is like a baye. This is Abai's position, that even, right, when we're talking about here is Lifnei, it's a case of Lifnei Yeyush, and therefore Rabbi Shimon says it goes back to Rabbi Shimon, Ba'at, and they said to him, even if you don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, Iyet Kerab Nami Kerabonan Sfirlach, even if you hold like Rabbi, like the Rabbonan, Anan L'Shumam Hata Parkinin La, we redeemed her to be a maidservant, and when we do that, right, Parkinin La, Niyala, that, Parkinin La, Niyala. So, V'inhu Savor, so what did they believe? Lifnei Yeyush Havo, that it was before Yeyush. So if it's before Yeyush, therefore Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes, who does it go to? It always goes to Rabbi Rishon. If it's the Rabbanan, if they redeemed her for servitude, where does she go? She goes back to her original owner. So they said to Abaye, they said to Mar Shmuel, it belongs to you. This woman belongs to you. Velohi, they mistook the case, la'achar Yeyush Havo, because Mar Shmuel had really given up hope on her. And therefore, if he was miyayish on her, according to this, right, once he's miyayish on her, what do we say? Then when they redeem her l'shibud, she goes to Rabo HaSheni. And if that's the case, she really didn't belong to Mar Shmuel. So Mar says, Ushmuel lo mibayi dimishtabude lo mishtabid bo. right? And Shmuel, then not only did he think that he did not own her, that there was no shibud here, elegita de chirut olam and letzruchua. That Shmuel says that not only that, she doesn't even need a get chirut over here. She didn't need to, what? She doesn't even need to get a freedom document. Why? Shmuel the Tameh. Shmuel's according to his own reasoning. The Amar Shmuel, Hamafkir Avdo Yotel Chayrut. Someone who makes his Evid Hefker goes free. Beinu Tzarech Get Shichro. And he doesn't need a document of freedom. So over here, what did Shmuel do? Shmuel had Yeush. Yeush is the equivalent of Hefker. So if Shmuel had Hefker on this Evid, then they basically went free. And he doesn't require Get Shichro. So when these people went ahead and redeemed, right, this Evid, once they redeem this, Evid was already free. And once he's free, then it doesn't belong to him. And this Evid or the Shifcha should remain free. Shneamar, how do you know that they don't need a Gekshir? Shulchol, it says, V'chol Evid Ish Miknat Kesef. It says Evid Ish. The Gemara says, Evid Ish, V'lo Evid Isho? What does that mean? That an Evid's only to a man, not to a woman? Evid Sheyesh Lo Reshut the Rabo Alav Koroi Evid. A Evid that his master has possession or actionable possession over him, then he's called an Evid. If he doesn't have possession over him, he can't. Why doesn't he have possession over him? Either because he was mafkir him or because he had Yeush over here. Then he's no longer called an Evid. He loses his status as an Evid. Loses his status as an Evid. Then you don't need a Get Shichur anymore. You don't need a freedom document because he's no longer an Evid. That was the case of Mar Shmuel of Shmuel. Now we have a new case. Amte de Rabbi Ava Bar Zutra Ishtabai. So she was taken into captivity. Pirko, right? Hahu Tarmuda L'shem Itto. So this non-Jew from Tarmut went ahead and redeemed her to marry her. So now Shalchule L'didei, right? So they sent the people of the city, the Jews over there, sent to him and said to him, Iyaut Abdot, if you want to do the best thing here, you know what you should do? Shadala Gita de Cheruta. Send her a document of freedom. So Mar says, Hey Chidami. What's the case here? Idemotsu Pirkelo. If they can redeem her, Lamali get to the Chiruta. This is what, you know, Abba Martz is thinking. Abba Barzuch is thinking. If they can redeem her, these Jews can go ahead and redeem her, why do I need to send her a document of freedom? Idelo Motsu Pirkelo. If they don't have the ability to redeem her, Kisharo la get to the Chiruta Mahavi. If I send her a document of freedom, what benefit have I provided over here? So why, the question is, or what he's asking is, why do they want me to send this document of freedom over here? What's the benefit of me sending her the document of freedom? Because if they, right, even if I send her a document of freedom, if they redeem her for Abdus, then she'll remain an Evid to them. So why should I send her a document of freedom? So Gemara says, the Olam, the case over here, what do we say? The Matsu Parkila. They had the ability to redeem her. Came in the Mishadar La Gita, the Cheruta, if he sends her a document of freedom, Chaburi Mechabre Adodi, Uparkila. That would give more incentive for the city to go ahead and redeem her. Why? Because right now she's a Shifcha Kananit. And this is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that we saw in the previous Amud. But they believe over here that there's a different status between redeeming a full-fledged Jew Yisrael and redeeming a Shifcha Kananit. So if she remains a Shifcha Kananit, after they redeem her, then people were going to be so willing to give money. But if they told her that Abba Martha went ahead and gave her a get shichur, made her into a Jew, basically he gave her freedom, now she'll become a full-fledged Jew, then that will incentivize the people to go and collect money and redeem her. So based on that, they wanted him to send a get shichur to help them in the collection in order to redeem her. The Gemara says, the other possibility is, they didn't have the ability to free her, or to redeem her. This would be interesting, very interesting, that if he sends her a get cherut, that if he frees her, then she will lose value in the eyes of this Tarmoda, and then he will sell her, meaning that he will allow her to be redeemed for her true value, and not excess value. Meaning that as long as she remained an Shifcha Kananis, she belonged to a Jewish owner, that had some appeal in this man's eyes. If they took away that appeal, then maybe they could get her out, or they could get her for a lower price. So Gemara says, "V'hama ma'ar chaviv lahem behem tan shel Yisrael yoter min nishotayim." So Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which says that for a nochri, that they like the Jews' animals more than their own wives. I don't know what type of empirical evidence they had about this, but that was a statement made by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, "Hani milei bitzino." That's only, what, in privacy. Aval bevehersia zilibahu milsa. If it's publicized, then they are embarrassed about it. So listen to this. The Rashi says, what's the issue over here? When he sends her a get shichur, then it will become apparent that she is a Jewish maidservant. And what? Once she becomes apparent to everyone that she's a Jewish maidservant, that'll be an embarrassment for this non-Jew to marry this Talmudah to marry her because she was a Jewish maidservant. Who wants to marry a Jewish maidservant? Right? So therefore, he won't want to hold on to her. If he doesn't want to hold on to her, then to buy her back, her freedom will be much cheaper. As even though generally, right, when we talk about the leftovers of the Jew, right, that would be appealing to them. That's only in this instance, Bitsina. Nobody else knows about it. Once it becomes a public issue, then that is not the case. So since this, by sending her a get shichu, that'll make it a public issue, that will help them in their ability to redeem her in this instance. So again, here we have a case where we have someone taken into captivity. They want to, the city or the people are sending to Abba Marta, the original owner, help us out, send her a get shichu. We asked the question, what's the purpose of the get shichu? That's what Rabbi Bar Zutra wanted to know. I mean, Abba Bar Zutra wanted to know, what's the purpose of this get shichu? So the Gemara gave two possibilities. One possibility is that they were able to redeem her. And by getting the get shichu, it would be appeal to the people and make it easier for them to redeem her and collect the money because she'd be a full-fledged Jew when she was freed. The other possibility is that they were unable to free her because the price was too high. By sending her a get shichu, that would bring the price down because it would make it a less appealing, she'd be a less appealing wife or woman for this guy. Now, by being less appealing woman, that would lower the price and make them able or give them the ability to redeem her. So where it says, Hayamto the Havabu Pumpadita. So there was this maidservant that was in Pumpadita, Avakama Avdiba in Sheyisur. She became a woman of ill repute. Right? Or somehow people were getting involved with her and she was ending up in a bad place. Amar Bai loved Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Bai says, had it not been for the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that what? Kol Meshachar Avdo Over Baasei. Anyone who frees a Eved Kenani is over an Asei. Have a kafin and lay lamara. I would have forced her, his owner or her owner, Lechtiv La Gita de Cheruta, and forced them to give her a document of freedom. Why? Because once he frees her, then she can marry a Jew. If she marries a Jew, then that Jew will take care of her, protect her, and then they won't have this problem anymore. Ravina Amar, Kiha Mode, so Ravina rejects Abaya's position. Ravina says that in type, an instance like this, right, Mode Rav Yehuda Mishum Milsa Di Isura. When it comes to a Milsa Di Isura, then even Rav Yehuda Mishmo will agree that there's a value in redeeming her. There's a value in freeing her. That despite the fact that there's an assay here, there's still a value in freeing her. So Gemara says, well, Abaye Mishum Isura lo. So why didn't Abaye think the same way that Ravina did? Why does Abaye not hold like Ravina? There was this woman who was half freed. She was owned by two owners. One owner freed her, and the other owner did not free her. So she's and we forced her, right? We forced the other owner to free her. So we see what? That we do force an owner, even when there's a issue at hand, right? We do free her. Why did they free her? They didn't free her because of what, right? When it comes to an Eved, a man, what's the din by a man? He's Mitzuva in Puria or Rivia. So now when if it was an Eved Ivri, and he was half Ben Chorim and half Eved, and he was a half Eved Kenani, and he was a half Ben Chorin, then he can't marry. He can't marry an Eved Ivri, a Shivcha Kenanit, and he can't marry a Bat Chorin. So now he is Batel from doing Puri Rivia. But a woman is not Nitzavit in Puri Rivia. If she's not Nitzavit in Puri Rivia, what was the mitzvah here? What was the issue that they were worried about that they freed this woman? So that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, that they were Minhag Hefker now Guba. This woman started to become again a woman who is being used inappropriately. She's being used inappropriately. That's why they freed her. So we see again, B'makom Yisuro, where there was a problem, they freed the woman. So Hachi Ashto, the Gemara says, how can you compare these cases? Ha'atam lo le'eved chazio v'lo le'ben chorin chazio. Over there, when the woman's half Shivcha Knanit and half a Bat Chorin, she can't marry an Eved Ivri, and she can't marry a Ben Chorin. So therefore, there's nobody to protect her. Ha'cha efshir demiyachid lo le'avdei u'minter lo. Over here, when she's a full Shivcha Knanit, right, then he can protect her by giving her over to his Eved Ivri. He goes over to an Eved Ivri, then that Eved Ivri will protect her. So there was an alternative solution. When she's a full Shivcha Knanit, we have an alternative solution to stop the problem of her becoming a problem of Isura or Hefker, because we can miyachid her Eved Ivri. When she's half and half, there is no solution. In that case, we do force it. Now the Gemara says, Gufa. Is it just a small Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmo, Kol Meshachar Avdo Over Baasei? Anybody who freezes Eved is Over Baasei, Shenemar, Laulam Bahem Tavodu. Because it says you must keep them in servitude forever. So by not keeping them in servitude, you are an over nasei. So he went into shul and they didn't have a minion. So what did he do? He freed his slave, and he made the minion. So over here the Gemara says mitzvah shiny. Over here the Gemara says that a mitzvah is different, and when it comes to a mitzvah, that overrides the issue of not freeing an Eved Kanani. I'll just let you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into it now, but there is definitely, the Rishonim deal with this, is that in the Gemara in Brachos, this Gemara appears in Brachos, I think in Pesachim also, there the Gemara has an alternative girsa which says mitzvah derabim shiny. Not mitzvah shiny, but mitzvah derabim shiny. So over there you have to know, again, the question here is, what mitzvah is having a minion? Right? The mitzvah of having a minion is only a din derabonon. If it's a din derabanan, how could you have a din derabanan that overrides an asei deoraisa? So there in the Gemara, people talk about, well, maybe it's reading Parsha Zohar with a minyan, which possibly could be deoraisa. People have to come up with these hechetimtes and make it a deoraisa. If you have the alternative girsa, which is mitzvah derabim shiny, right, then you don't maybe not need that, because it's not simply a mitzvah, but mitzvah derabim, even though it's maybe only derabanan, but because it's a mitzvah derabim, it takes on a different, right, a different status. And that status allows you to overcome the mitzvah asei. It's a good thing for further Iyun, but we don't have a lot of time now, so we'll keep moving. All right, Tana Rabbanan. This is a Gemara that we saw in Sota together, right? We saw this Gemara in Sota together. There were three times that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar argued. It says, "Lalem bahem tavodu reshut divrei Rabbi Yishmael." Rabbi Yishmael says that when it says "lalem tavodu," that's reshus. You can, you can, but not that you have to. Rabbi Akiva omer chuva, that it's an obligation to be tavod bahem. So Gemara says, "V'dilma Rabbi Elazar sever lo k'man d'amar reshut." Whoa, well, maybe the reason that Rabbi Elazar freed this Eved Kanani here to make dominion is because he holds it's not a chova to be lohem levod tovodu, but like Rabbi Shmuel who says it's only reshus. Gemara says, "Lo saka datcho." That we wouldn't say. The Tanya behedjo, we have an explicit brisa. Rabbi Elazar omer chova. Rabbi Elazar himself says it's a chova. And if he says it's a chova, the only reason that he could have freed this Eved over here is because of either mitzvah shiny or mitzvah derabim shiny. So Amar Rava, Bahani tzlat mile nachte balibati minichseon. There are three things that cause people to lose their wealth. One of them is the mafke of dayu lecheruta. They free their Eved Kananim. Number two is what? Udisayre nichsayu b'shabto. They go and look and think about their business on Shabbos, what their business needs. They go look at their properties. They think about their business on Shabbos. That they set up their meals on Shabbos at the time that the Rav is giving the drush or the Rav is giving the shir. In order that they don't have to go to the shir, they go and eat their meal then. So these three things cause people to lose their wealth. There were two families in Yerushalayim. One of them made their suda on Shabbos itself, and one made it on Erev Shabbos. And both of them were wiped out. These families were wiped out. What does it mean they made their suda on Erev Shabbos? Rashi gives two pshat. One pshat is that they ate at night. They made their main meal at night instead of during the day. And we know that kavod of Shabbos is more important during the day, and they should have made their main meal during the day. Rashi says their intent was, again, to get out of the drusha, so they made their main meal at night. The other possibility on Erev Shabbos is that they used to make a big meal right before Shabbos. By making a big meal right before Shabbos, what happens then? That they didn't have a taiva to eat their Shabbos meal. So they were doing something that was wrong by eating a huge meal right before Shabbos. Amar Rav, Hamakdish Avdo Yotza Lecherut. Someone who makes his Evet Hekdesh, his Evet Kanani Hekdesh, goes free. So my time. So what's the reason over here? So again, we'll read this like Rashi first. Gufo Lo Kaddish, right? Gufo Lo Kaddish, you can't make him Kaddish for Kedushas Aguf. Rashi says, meaning that you can't make him, Kedushas Aguf means that he can go on the Mizbeach, it can be used for the Mizbeach. That he certainly can't do because an Evet doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Demei Lo Kamar, for his monetary means, he didn't say, meaning that he didn't say, I'm baktish the value of my evet, that he did not say. So what did he say then? Delahave, I'm kadosh. When he says I'm maktish, must mean what? That I'm going to be an I'm kadosh, make him into a Jew. And that's what it means. He goes free to become a Jew, Kamar. So now, this is important. So Rashi says, well, how is this different, let's say, for instance, than a behemoth tmeya? If you take a non-kosher animal, and he's makdish his non-kosher animal over there, we say, well, the non-kosher animal can't go on the mizbeach, so it's not kedushas aguf. So what's the alternative? The Gemara says, well, then he's makdish if adomim, and he has to redeem that animal. He gets the monetary, he's giving the monetary value of that animal to hekdesh, or he's giving it to the gizbar, to the treasurer, and the treasurer will sell that and take the money for hekdesh. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So Rashi says, well, that depends, because by a behemoth tmeya, what's our alternative? When he's makdish it, can't be kedushas aguf, right? It could be kedushas domim. So there's only two possibilities. So therefore we say it's kedushas domim. By an eved, that's not true. There are three possibilities. It could be kedushas aguf, it could be kedushas domim, or it could be to free him, to make him into a full Jew. Since we have another alternative, which is to free him, make him into a full Jew, we say that's not his intent, was not to be makdish l'kedushas aguf, not to be makdish l'domim for its monetary value, but rather to free him. And that's why in this instance he goes free. And that's what Rashi says. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns slightly differently. That when he says that the gufo lo kodesh, when he says that his guf is not kodesh, he means that the eser bahana. That since he doesn't have the ability to be oser, the evident hano, therefore, right, that he can't, since he can't make him oser bahana, therefore, it can't be that he's kodesh, but kedushas aguf. Number two is that the mekamar, he's not talking about his monetary value, because he said his body should be kodesh to meker, that it would be sold, but rather he's saying to go free. And that's what he's saying over here. When you say that he's making him kadosh, it's not that he meant to make him aser bana, not that he meant to give his monetary value when he said that, but rather to make him into a free man. And then this is a case that's totally different than the behemoth tmeya. Because over here, he's trying other alternatives. What can he do with his eved? He can make him aser bana, he can make him for his monetary value, or he can make him into a free man. We say, well, of those three alternatives, am kadosh makes the most sense, and that's what we are saying over here, that if he's makdish his eved, he goes free. So now, Rav Yosef Amrav, a mafkir avdo, yatsa l'cherut. One who is mafkir, relinquishes all possession over his eved, he goes free. Right, so manda amar, so these were both statements said in the name of Rav. So manda amar makdish kosher kein mafkir. The one who says that when you're makdish, the eved, he goes free. And certainly the one who says, then he certainly agrees that if you're mafkir it, that he goes free. Because that's much clearer that he's clearly freeing him in that case. Manda amar mafkir, the one who says mafkir, he goes free. Avo makdish lo, that may have been his makdish him, it doesn't go free. Why? Dilma lo demei kamar, because maybe he's saying, I want to be makdish him for his monetary value. Ivalu, now when he does this, tzarech get shechur or lo tzarech, means it's sufficient when he's makdish or mafkir this eved, is it sufficient that he just does that and then the eved goes free, or he must also give him a get shechur, he must also give him a document of freedom, tashma. Dam Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar Rav, echad zeh v'echad zeh, means both. If you're mafkir the eved or you're makdish the eved, yatzeh d'cheirut v'tzarech get shechur, he goes free and you need a get shechur. You need to have him get a document of freedom. Now this goes against, as you remember earlier in the Gemara, we saw in Shmuel's position. Shmuel's position was a mafkir avdo yotel lecherut ve'enu tzarech get shechur. So Shmuel believes that when you free your eved, that's it. It's done. It's completed, and the eved goes free without a get shechur. Rav over here, on the other hand, says what? That when you're mafkir your eved, he still requires a get shechur. Right? Okay, so now, Omer Rabba, Umadvina Nashmaitan. We asked on our own position, meaning that we said, we have a question, our own position now that we said in the name of Rav. What's that? Hamakdish Nechazavayu Behen Avadim. That person who was Makdish all his possessions, and in all of his possessions, there were also Avadim, meaning there were servants, Avid Knani. Inakazberi Mashim Lotziam Lecherut. They can't free them just willy-nilly, the Gizgurim can't send them free. Aval, what do? They sell them to third parties. And these third parties can then free them. If they want to, they can free them. Rabbi Omer Omer Ani, I say myself, Avhu notein demei atzmo, that this Eved Kanani can buy himself. Or why can he buy himself? Someone gives him money in a gift, as a gift, where his Rav won't, or his masters won't have any possession of it, then he can go buy himself. Why? Because what's that different than selling to a third party? The equivalent of selling him to himself. I mean, what's the difference between selling to a third party and selling to the Eved himself? Either way, the Eved should go free. But what do we see from this Mishnah, this Tanaic work? We see that you can be Makdish and Eved. Right? You can make an Eved Hekdesh. So didn't we just say, Rabba said in the name of Rab, when you Makdish your Eved, what happens to your Eved? He goes free, because there's no such thing as Hekdesh by an Eved. Just over here, now everybody says, well, if he's Makdish all his possessions, guess what happens to his Eved? He becomes Kodesh. Why doesn't he go free? So Gemara says, Matnita and Karamit Aleid Rav, you're asking from a Tanaic work on Rav? Rav Tanahu Polig, that's no problem. Rav's a Tan. Rav has the status of a Tana. Rav was actually someone who was on the threshold between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. So therefore, since he was on that borderline, sometimes he's treated like a Tana. Tosos in other places talks about why or when is he treated like a Tana versus when he's treated like an Amora. But here the Gemara is saying the possibility, wait, Rav's a Tana, and therefore you might have a question from a Mishnah, but Rav himself has that status of a Tana. If he has that status of a Tana, he can argue on that Mishnah. So Tashma, let's try something else. Akko Cherim, right? It says in the Pasuk that you can make into Cherim. Here it means Kodesh, but make it into Kodesh through the term Cherim. Right? Adam, you can make it Adam ad behema. What's Adam? What does it mean? Adam elu avadav shivchotav haknanim. So what do you see over here? You can make something kodesh. What can you make kodesh? Your eved knani and your shivchot knanit. That goes against Rav again. So where it says acham askin and damar ledmei. So that case by Cherem is where he says that I'm doing it for their monetary value. So where it says yochi idach nami. So why don't you say that about the first question that we brought down on Rav, that enig is bury matzim l'shin lechetrut when he's makdish kol nechasav? Why don't you say over there also that he did the demay? So Gemara says, Ihachi enig is bury mersheam lahutziam lechetrut. What do you mean? What is that Mishnah saying when it says that the treasurers of Kekdesh can't free him? Gizbarim mavitayu. What do the Gizbarim, what do the treasurers have anything to do with this? If he was just makdish them for their monetary value, then all he has to do, they still belong to him. He just has to redeem them. He has to pay money for them. But they don't belong to the Gizbarim. They don't belong to the treasurers at all. The two of Amochu and Tamla Achirim, or also that the Mishnah says, what you sell them to a third party, Achirim Otsim and Tamla Achirut, and they free them, Achirim Ayavitayu. Again, what's a third party doing in here? When you makdish l'dmei, it means that I give the value of my Ebed to Hekdesh. The Eved's still mine. It has nothing to do with my Eved. I didn't sell him. I didn't give him away. All I said was I'm going to give my monetary value of my Eved to Hekdesh. So if you're talking about selling to a third party, you're talking about the treasures of Hekdesh, that already sounds like that it must be a full Hekdesh. Not just Hekdesh for his monetary value, but literally it belongs to Hekdesh. Vitu, and then what are you going to do with this last name? Rabbi Omer Omer Ani, Afu Notain Demei Atzma, Viyotzim Yifnei Shuk Mocholo. Vila Demei, Mai Yifnei Shuk Mocholo. Again, why is he selling to himself? Meaning that, what is he going free for over here? Why is he selling to himself? Again, it's really a derivative of the last question that the Gemara asked. But again, what is? There's no sale going on here. There's no transaction. There's no change of ownership over here. All we said when you say the Demei is that I will give the equivalent value of this Eved to Hekdesh. So Gemara says, Tashma, Amakdish Avdo, Osev Ochel, Shlohikdish Eludamav. Right, so if a person is Makdish his Eved Knani, then he's Osev Ochel, right, that he does his own work and then eats that because his Maisi Yadayim don't go to Hekdesh, right? Because Lo Hekdesh Eludamav, because the only, what he meant when he said it was Hekdesh is that what? That he wants to give his monetary value to Hekdesh. And it's equivalent of giving land to Hekdesh, the equivalent of giving a behemoth tamei to Hekdesh, which is that you're saying, I want to give this value to Hekdesh, but not that you can, not, again, not that you can, number one, be makdish him for his maisi yadayim, give out his output to Hekdesh, number one, and number two is that we can see that you can make an Eved Kanani into Hekdesh, and it's against that position of Rav again. So Azamar says, how many Rabbi Meir he? This is Rabbi Meir, Damar, Eina Damotid Varav Levatala, that a person never says something in vain. So we always have to come up. If a person makes a statement that seems illogical or seems incoherent to us, nevertheless, we try to find the most coherent solution to it. So even though it's impossible to be, in general, we assume that a person can't be Makdish's Eved, nevertheless, since he did it, but Lashon Hekdesh, we say that he really meant to say the value of Hekdesh. We meant to say Demei Hekdesh. But not everybody believes that. Not everybody believes that a person always makes a statement that is of value. Therefore, if you normally would say Amakdesh according to other opinions, when he says Amakdesh, it means set him free, make him into Am Kadosh. According to Rabbi Meir, he says when a person says Amakdesh, he didn't use the term Makdesh to set him free. If you want to set him free, you would say, go free. Right? He would free him. The fact that he used the term Makdesh, we now want to give some coherency or some value to that term, that means that he must have said, I'm giving the May, the Ma of the Hekdesh. That's what it is. So Mar says, Achanami Mistava, that makes sense. The Ktoni Seifo, the next latter half of this, right, verse that we just brought says, V'chein hu shehikdish atzmo. If he was Makdish himself, I mean, the person was Makdish himself, Osev Ochel, again, he can keep his output and eat. Shlo Hikdish Elo Damav. He only gave his value to Hekdesh. So Gemara says, "Yeah, Amar Bishlamar Rabbi Meir Shapir." If you explain according to Rabbi Meir, it makes sense. "Yeah, Amar Rabbanon." If you say it's Rabbanon, who say that people do make these statements, right? Bishlama Avdo L'Dmeikoi. That makes sense when you're talking about his Eved, because his Eved is normally transacted. He's a piece of property. He can be sold and bought, so it makes sense that he gave his value to Hekdesh. Elohu L'Dmeikoi? This person, when you're talking about a normal person, a normal Jew, what his monetary value has any, makes any sense here? Mashma, that's what Rashi says, explains this according to Lav Mashma Milsul Demei. His statement makes no sense. It doesn't mean that he's going to give his monetary value to Hekdesh, because people don't have, in general, don't have monetary value. Because like Rabbi Meir, we say that since a person never says something that's incoherent, right, therefore we assume he's saying something, and then he means, Demei Atzmi, that I'm going to give my value to Hekdesh, and therefore we can explain this whole Brisa according to Rabbi Meir. If that's the case, again, right, that it's mashma that this is Rabbi Meir and he's unique, and Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir, and therefore Rav keeps his position that when it's Makdish Avdo or Eved Aknani, that means that he goes free. All right, we'll stop over here.